Chapter 3. The Old Bailey. 5 years passed. Dr. Manette and his daughter Lucy settled in a small house in London with Lucy's old nurse, Miss Pross. The doctor returned to health and began to see patients once more. Sometimes, however, memories of his suffering came back to him, and for a couple of days or more he would take up his shoemaking again. It was impossible to talk to him, and he lost all idea of where he was. He imagined himself to be back in prison, and he withdrew completely into silence and suffering. Mr. Lorry visited them frequently when he had time off from his duties at Tellson's Bank, where Jerry Cruncher was still working as a messenger. One day, the clerk told Jerry to go straight away to the Old Bailey to deliver a message to Mr. Lorry.
"The Old Bailey, sir?"
repeated Jerry.
"What's going on there? And what's Mr. Lorry got to do with the Old Bailey, I wonder?"
"Mr. Lorry is giving evidence in a trial, that's all,"
the clerk told him. Jerry hurried to the Old Bailey as quickly as he could and entered the grim old building. He pushed through the crowd of lawyers and spectators who had come to watch the trial that was taking place.
"What's the trial about?"
he asked one of the officials.
"I suppose it's a forgery case."
"It's not forgery,"
the official told him.
"It's more serious than that. It's treason."
"That's quartering,"
Jerry said quietly.
"Barbarous."
"It's the law,"
the official said sternly. Jerry made his way into the court and looked around for Mr. Lorry. He saw him sitting next to an elderly gentleman and a young girl. They were talking seriously together, and the young girl seemed worried and nervous. She kept looking towards the dock where the prisoner was standing. The prisoner was a well-dressed young man. He stood calmly, waiting for the trial to begin. The prosecuting counsel rose to his feet and described the charges against the prisoner. The prisoner, he explained, was called Charles Darnay. He had travelled many times between England and France, and the prosecutor said that the purpose of his journeys was to carry information that was dangerous to England. The prosecutor said that he would now bring forward his witnesses, who would prove that Charles Darnay was an enemy to England and that he deserved severe punishment. His first witness was a man called John Barsad. This witness said he had once been a friend of the prisoner's, but that he had broken off the friendship when he became sure that Charles Darnay was a spy for France. The witness spoke confidently, and the prosecuting counsel was obviously pleased with the way he gave his evidence. Next, it was the defence counsel's turn to ask John Barsad some questions. Had he ever been a spy himself? No. What was the source of his income? His property. Where was this property? He didn't remember. Had he ever been in prison? Never. Had he ever been in a debtor's prison? Yes. How many times? 2 or 3. Not 5 or 6? Perhaps. Had he ever been a gambler? No more than other gentlemen. Had he ever borrowed money from the prisoner? Yes. Had he paid the money back? No. John Barsad left the witness stand a little awkwardly after the defence counsel had finished with him. The prosecuting counsel called another witness, Mr. Jarvis Lorry. He asked Mr. Lorry to remember a night 5 years ago when he had been a passenger on the Dover Mail.
How many other passengers were there on the mail?
2.
Was the prisoner one of them?
I don't know. They were both wrapped up against the cold. I could not see their faces.
Have you ever seen the prisoner anywhere?
Yes. He was on the boat when I returned from France a few days later.
Were you travelling alone, Mr. Lorry?
No. I was travelling with Dr. Manette and his daughter, Lucy.
The prosecution counsel now called Lucy Manette to the stand. She confirmed that she had talked to the prisoner. Charles Darnay had noticed that her father was ill and had helped her to make the old man comfortable for the crossing. He had been polite and kind to both herself and her father. She hoped that her evidence would not get him into trouble. The prosecution counsel now called a final witness to prove that Charles Darnay had got out of the Dover Mail in the middle of the night and had then walked some 12 miles through the darkness to a garrison town where he had waited for an accomplice. The prisoner's two defence counsels listened to this witness very carefully. The junior counsel, who had not played a very active part throughout the trial, yawned and stretched in his chair, as if the whole trial was a bore and a waste of time. Then he wrote a hurried note and passed it along to his colleague. His colleague read the note with surprise, then rose to his feet to ask the witness some questions.
Are you quite sure that the man you saw in the garrison town was the prisoner Charles Darnay?
Quite sure.
Have you ever seen anyone else who looked like the prisoner?
No.
Look at my young colleague for a moment.
The defence counsel told the witness.
Now look at the prisoner again. Do they not look like each other?
The witness looked at the young barrister. Then he looked again at the prisoner. It was true. The two men were similar.
Can you still say that the man you saw in the garrison town was the prisoner?
Asked the defence counsel. The witness could not swear it. It was possible he had made a mistake. All the evidence had now been heard, and the jury retired to consider their verdict on the prisoner. Everyone stood up and began to walk about the court, talking to friends and colleagues. The young defence counsel left his colleague for a moment and approached Mr. Lorry.
Is Miss Manette all right?
He asked eagerly, having seen her about to faint.
She is upset, but she'll be all right,
Mr. Lorry told him.
You have given the prisoner a good defence, Mr. Carton,
he said politely. Sidney Carton smiled grimly. Then he walked up to the prisoner.
Miss Manette will be all right,
he said coldly.
I'm deeply sorry to have been the cause of her suffering,
Charles Darnay said. Time moved slowly while the jury was considering the fate of the prisoner. Jerry was waiting outside the court building when Mr. Lorry ran excitedly up to him, waving a piece of paper.
Take this to the bank straight away,
he ordered. Jerry looked at the piece of paper. There was one word written on it. Acquitted.
If he had written record to life, I would have understood him this time,
Jerry said to himself as he hurried towards Tellson's bank.